Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, hello, good evening. It's Crystal P. Willingham, and you are right here live and in color with me on Glam Network Radio on the Blog Talk Radio server. Welcome to another episode of Glam Network Radio. Power, triumph, and influence. That's what we've been talking about since June of this year, and I'm so happy that we can continue bringing you men and women, which are power couples, women and female teenagers who have powerful, powerful stories of triumph and power and influence and things that they have been doing to overcome in their personal lives. And we're grateful that God has given us an avenue to share those testimonies with you. The Bible says they are overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. Your testimony, no matter how big or small you think it is, it's going to help someone overcome what they're going through. So never think that your story is too big or too small to share with the world, a platform, or even just a few people. Always be willing to share your life triumphs with others so that you can be the light to someone else in their dark place. Hey, we're going to stop for 1 second. We're going to do our little music thing and pay a bill, and we'll be right back with tonight's guest, Daishan Washington. What an awesome woman. I got to read about her today, and I'm telling you, you are not going to be sorry. Call your girl, call your mom, call your sisters and girlfriends and boyfriends. Call them and let them know that we are on the air, and this radio show is just not for women, but we do also invite our men to come and join us. We'll be right back in just a few seconds. This show segment is brought to you by Rise Management and Consulting Firm. Rise Management and Consulting Firm is helping you rebuild your credit. Learn how to understand your credit, read your credit score, understand your credit rights, repair your credit, legally watch your credit score improve within 30 days. You'll get consultations, unlimited email access, and 10% off your first product purchase. For more information, visit www.risemcf.com. That's www.risemcf.com. Or visit them on Facebook, Rise Management and Consulting Firm, helping you rebuild your credit. That's right. If you go visit Rise Management and Consulting Firm, you got to mention that you heard the commercial on our show, Glam Network Radio, to get that discount. Let Stephanie Williams know I sent you, and she'll be more than happy to service you. Thank you, Rise Management and Consulting Firm, for being the greatest, one of my greatest and most wonderful advertisers and sponsors on this particular series. We thank you, and also thank you to Shulamite Women Magazine as well for sponsoring us and being a very, very awesome, awesome sponsor on Glam Network Radio. So, hey, without further ado, I do want to talk about this one thing really quick before we bring our guest on. I know everybody's been talking about it. It has slammed and broke the internet, you name it, challenge. I was okay when it first started and then got a little raunchy, but I have been taken over the edge today. I saw an Asian family do the you name it challenge, y'all. I'm done. I'm so done. I said, call the coroner. I'm done. Get a preacher. This thing was so viral and so awesome. I didn't think that Pastor Shirley Caesar would have had a problem with it at all. I did have a problem with a few little, I didn't want to see all of that, you know, in my screen. But Pastor Shirley Caesar herself even released a video doing the You Name It Challenge, and she named it and put it down there, and she had the choir to back her up. So I got to give a thumbs up and a kudos to Pastor Shirley Caesar. She is my hero, an awesome, awesome woman of God, just a wonderful example, and she ages so well. I just want to know what water she's drinking so I can have some. But I'm going to tell you what my mother, my grandmother said, and all the other women in the old church said, holiness will keep you. So if you want to be able to keep you, if you want to be kept. So she is riding this thing out to the fullest, and I want to say kudos and congratulations to her and her Hollywood Walk of Fame induction right there on the sidewalk. If you go down that street, I forgot which one it was, but if you go down that street, you'll find Dr. Shirley Caesar star right there waiting to greet you. So, hey, listen, tonight we were going to take a break this month, but I couldn't do it. I walked into a wonderful story. This woman, I didn't even know who she was until last week, and I don't know how I do it. If I find that you're interesting, I'm going for it. And so we decided to wake up the server this evening and get back moving. And I want to introduce to you my guest tonight. Her name is Dyshawn Washington. She's an author, and when I tell you she's an author, she's not playing. She is author of Diary of a Mad First Lady, okay? she's also going to be releasing part two, the sequel, very, very soon, Diary of a Mad, Diary of a Mad Preacher's Wife. And then we got The Preacher's Wifey. If you go onto her website, we'll talk more about her other books as well. But I just want to give her a chance to introduce herself to you and let you get to know Miss Dyshawn Washington. Hello, Miss Washington.
Hello, how are you?
I'm wonderful. Thank you for stopping by my spot.
Thank you for having me, especially at such a short notice. I appreciate you coming back on the air. It's a little old me.
Oh, no, ma'am. Nobody's little around here. I could not resist it. It's just what I do. It's one of those things, you know how you do things and you really want to put it off for a little while, but you can't. You go back and do it again.
Right.
It's just one of those things I love to do. And so you are making this whole evening just worth it for me. I didn't get to know you till last week, and I guess we'll talk about that at the end of the show, why I got to know you. But you're an awesome best-selling author. You've written, I think I've seen 4 or 5 books already, and I know you got some more inside of you somewhere. But tell us who Dyshawn Washington is. Like you told me a little bit earlier, but I really would love for you to talk about you being a married woman at the age of what?
16 years old. 16 years old. Well, you know, people are always asking me that question. Who is Dyshawn? Everybody wants to know who Dyshawn is outside of the public eye. Because, you know, you have your public Dyshawn and then you have your at-home Dyshawn. And I tell people all
Amen.
The time, at home, I am boring. I am a nerd. I walk around with no shoes on, you know. And I'm just your average, everyday person, you know, who, you know, I remember being around 9 years old deciding that I wanted to, you know, write. I just loved reading, and I wanted to write books. And, you know, and I had big dreams. I'm from a very small town in Alabama. And my dreams were so, you know, gigantic. And I just remember thinking, what are the chances of me, you know, getting an opportunity to do what I love to do? And so over time, you know, I just developed this strong sense of faith, and I had so much confidence, you know. And this was all prior to my divorce. Even back then, I was just unstoppable. I felt like there wasn't anything I couldn't do that I put my mind to. So I've always been very tenacious and very resilient.
Yeah.
And so, yes, I got married at 16 to a pastor. We were married for 17 years before our marriage ended in divorce. And since that time, I can honestly say, you know, I grew up, you know, I tell people all the time I'm a survivor. I've been through pretty much the gamut of whatever it is that anybody could go through. I've attempted suicide twice. I have, you know, I've been blessed to grace a lot of platforms. God has definitely been good to me, even in the midst of the divorce. But I would say, you know, people say, well, you know, if you had to describe yourself in one word, it would simply be survivor, because,
yes.
you know, God has kept me through, as my grandmother would say, danger seen and unseen.
Yes, honey.
So, yes, you know, it's just, it's been a journey, but I'm here.
Dyshan, and I do apologize for, I thought I had it, I thought I nailed it, so I'm going to get it right from now on. Dyshan, you have gone through, you know, as my mother said, many dangers, toils, and snares, and I don't like to brush over those kind of things lightly, but these are things that we are still facing today as women. And that was the whole purpose for this radio series. We're still going through this as women. I've interviewed some very pretty wild stories, and I can't say that your story is the wildest. I don't think there's any story that's the wildest, but being married at 16 and being a first lady at 17, I haven't come across that quite yet. Talk about that. What pushed you into that, if you can? I mean, there talked about marriage, and we've talked about what it takes to be a married, be a wife. We can't even get to the be a wife part before we get to being a first lady or anything else. But being a wife is a very, very powerful force in the earth. That's what we were created to do, be fruitful and multiply. How did you get through surviving being a wife and a first lady and divorced from 16 to where you are now?
You know, it's my, I was a third generation pastor's wife. My grandmother had been a pastor's wife. My mom is currently, you know, my dad, my parents are still together. My grandmother is deceased. So I was born a PK. And so I knew when I got married to my husband, who was a preacher, I kind of knew what to expect somewhat. Of course, you never can, you know, tell what you're going to go through when you actually step into the shoes. But I, you know, at 16 years old, people thought I was pregnant. They accused me of being pregnant, trying to cover up the pregnancy, and they said that was why I got pregnant. Had no idea I would go on to deal with infertility issues for 13 years. So, you know, that definitely wasn't it. But I was so sold out to God at that particular time in my life. I mean, like, probably even more so than now. I was, like, crazy with it, like, fanatical almost. And so I remember being at the hair salon, getting my hair done at 16 years old, sitting under the dryer. I closed my eyes. I saw myself getting married. And when I was 14, my grandmother came to me, and she said to me, you know, God is going to use you at an early age. And she said, I've already talked to your mom. I told her that you're going to get married early. This is 2 years prior to now. So she said, I told your mom you're going to get married early and that God is going to put you in ministry real early because you have a lot to do in the earth, and you got to get a head start. That's what my grandmother said at 14. So 2 years later, I'm sitting there. I close my eyes, and I see this vision of a wedding. I saw the colors. I saw everything. And it probably wasn't a couple, maybe a couple of weeks later, the guy that I ended up marrying, he picked me up from high school, and he said, God told me that you're supposed to be my wife. And I was like, oh, okay. And he was like, no, like right now. And I was like, boy, you crazy. I was like, my daddy going to shoot you. My daddy going to shoot you. So, and he was like, no, I'm serious. And so my dad was his pastor. And so he went and, you know, he came up to the house that day, and he told my parents, he said, I want to talk to you guys. And he told my dad it flat out. He said, you know, God told me that's my wife. And so long story short, we got married about 3 months after that. And so a little over a year later, he got his first pastorate. And, you know, I tell people all the time, it was so interesting because those were the sweetest people down in Rutledge, Alabama. They always accepted me. They embraced me, whatever I wanted to do, and I've always been an old soul. They had no idea at the time that I became a first lady that I was 17. One day they put me on the program to speak, do words of inspiration, and me being a writer even back then, I wrote a story in third person, and I was telling my story, and at the end of the story I said, you know, this story is me. This is my life. The whole church was like, because in the story, I reveal that, you know, the person is 17 years old. And so when I say this is me, this story is about me, the whole church, it was like a holy hush came over the church. Oh, and they were like, Jesus. She's 17? She's 17? Oh, my gosh, we got kids her age, you know? And so, but the power of God, the anointing on my life was so palpable. It was so poignant. And, it, you know, you couldn't deny it. And so, you know, I always credit that congregation for being able to look beyond me and see, you know, the God in me. The second pastorate, not so much. You know, they had an issue with my age. They had an issue with how I dressed. You know, that was a little bit harder. And then, you know, our final stopping place before we divorced, we planted our own ministry. We started with 17 people in the living room, ended up with over 1,000 the first year. And so I think at that point, you know, the marriage, we were having some problems. But, you know, we were still, for the sake of the ministry, we were putting up a good front. You know, I would put that mask on, and I would do what needed to be done because I come from a family. Mm-hmm. Nobody got, you know, nobody was divorced in my family. Even to this day, I only have one cousin on both sides of my family who's ever been divorced. You know, I've always seen marriage. I've always seen family, and that was what was modeled to me. And I meant I was going to do everything possible to save my marriage. Unfortunately, it ended in divorce, and it took a lot out of me because I had great hope for us. We were pegged as a power couple. We did everything together. We grew up together. We were best friends. And so it took a lot out of me. I was very angry with God shortly after the marriage ended. I was mad with him really during the process, but ministry kind of kept me going. I wasn't really focused as much. But once, you know, that first Sunday after he left, that was when it all hit me because I didn't have anywhere to go. It was like, what am I supposed to do with my life? You know, I've been a quote-unquote first lady now at this point, 15 years at that point. And I'm like, what am I supposed to do again? I'm supposed to go find a church? Like, where they do that at? You know, how you find a church, you know? It was very difficult. So, it was very difficult.
All right. So I've had a lot of whammies thrown at me in social media and on the air. And even though I read your bio, I'm still amazed and I'm listening to a woman who is more than just a survivor to me. You know, I tell people all the time, you know, when you survive, it's great, but you become a life liver. Now, I understand that it's not grammatically correct, but you're a life liver. You live life to the fullest. If what I'm seeing in front of me is what I see, you have grabbed life by the horns and you have taken on the reins to live. We have a lot of women that listen to Catch My Show. I do get emails and inboxes and things like that. We have women that are hanging on by the skin of their fingernail right now. You know, don't know if they can survive this storm. Please take a few minutes and talk to those women today.
You know, I want to say this to all of the ladies who are listening who feel like you can't survive and you won't survive. There was a time when I felt the same way. I felt deserted by God. I felt abandoned by my husband. I felt God had let me down. And one of the things that I say, and I just said this to somebody today, you have to remember that your purpose is not always intertwined with other people. And so I had to learn that my purpose didn't die with my husband leaving, you know, in my divorce. My purpose had to continue on. And so if you can ever maintain your focus and realize, why am I here again? What purpose am I supposed to fulfill in this earth? When you remain focused on the purpose, you don't really have time to be depressed for very long. And see, that's the thing that keeps us in depression. We forget that we have options. We forget that we have hope. And we forget that we have purpose. And when you remember those three things, it gives you the strength that you need. And every time I feel like I'm slacking or I'm feeling a little down, I started praying for other people. I started a prayer line not too long ago, a midnight prayer line that I just stopped, that I went on for months. And so we were praying and believing God for so many people that were calling into the line. And as I did that, my faith got strengthened. So you have to find ways to strengthen your faith. You have to always know that no matter what the enemy says to you, it's going to always be a lie. He doesn't know how to tell the truth. So you wouldn't listen to a liar talk to you every day at your job and your home and with your family. People normally don't tolerate liars, but for some reason we tolerate what the enemy tells us. And because he's incapable of telling the truth, then there's no reason we should listen to him to say to us, you know, it's over for you, or you missed your moment, you missed your time. You know, I declare to you tonight, whoever's listening, you did not miss your moment. You did not miss your time. You might have had some hiccups in life. You might have come across some crossroads and had to go over some hurdles and some speed bumps. But listen, if you get back focused with what God has purposed you to do, then I promise you that, you know, you'll be re-energized and you'll have strength for the journey. Don't give up. Whatever you do, don't give up. There's somebody somewhere counting on you and your story to help them survive. So, you know, that would be what, you know, I would say to the ladies who are listening. We have to take our power back. I did a conference earlier this summer. It was called Take Your Power Back. And so we got to realize, even from the beginning of time, that Adam was on this earth for not even a week before God said it's not good for him to be alone. And he created woman. That goes to show you right there how powerful we are, because he couldn't do it by himself. And so, you know, we gotta tap back into that inner power that God gave us from the very first woman that was created. And we got to walk around with our head held high, with our confidence intact. And that's, you know, that's me all day, every day. You know, when I walk into a room, I may not say nothing, but my presence will always speak, because I walk with confidence. And so for every woman that's listening, find a way to get your confidence back. Jesus. It's not found in nobody. It's not found in your husband. It's not found in your boyfriend, your whatever you want to call him. It's not found in nobody but within yourself. Get reacquainted with yourself and start confessing every day. I have to start talking to myself. I tell people all the time, I talk to myself. We have conversations all the time, because I have to take out what people speak negativity over your life. People speak doubt over your life, and all of that's coming into your ear gate. It's coming into your ear gate, and when it comes into your ear gate, it manifests in other places in your life. And so at the end of every day, I talk to myself, Dashane, you're worthy. Dashane, you're good enough. Dashane, you're more than qualified. Dashane, you are chosen. Mm-hmm. You know, those are the type of things that I speak over myself, even when nobody else is encouraging me.
Yes, yes. That is what I wanted you to say. You did exactly what I asked. As I was listening to you, I remember two other guests very distinctly that we had here, and it was Erica Brooks. She's a celebrity stylist, and it was Dr. Saquita Sutton. And Dr. Saquita Sutton was raped and brutally raped and left for dead, and she survived. And Erica Brooks, stylist, she survived two ministers whose marriages were, they were ministers in a church. And one was down low, and she came through this. And each one of them said the exact same thing that you said. They focused on helping others, and it encouraged and ignited their faith. And when I went through my tragedy, when I went through losing my daughter, and people were calling me, asking me to pray for them, and, you know, I heard what happened to you, and, oh, my goodness, and can you pray for me? And I thought to myself, no, you pray for me. But the Lord arrested me immediately, Dashane, and this is the point I want to share with you. As I was listening to people, the Lord says to me, remember Jesus on the cross. I want you to look at that. And I looked at it, and I said, okay, Lord, I see him. And I always appreciate the blood of Jesus. He said, when Jesus was bleeding and dying, he looked and ministered to the thief. While they were taking his life, while his life was slipping away from him, he ministered. That's what you can do. You can do the same thing. And so that gave me some inner strength on the inside. You know, and I didn't mind ministering. And so it seems that we have this common thread of giving, even when we're dry and think that we're at our lowest. I think that is where the most powerful treasures come out of you. And so I'm noticing this common thread with these wonderful, wonderful women. Dashane, you wrote a book, Diary of a Mad First Lady, and and the second sequel is coming out. You are a playwright, you're a speaker, you're an actress, you're a mother, a sister, an entrepreneur. There isn't anything I don't think you haven't and can't do, but talk to us about the book. So at least we can go and get a literary focus on who you are.
Yes. Yes, Diary of a Mad First Lady was my debut title. It came out in 2010, actually. I was still married at that time, and I was both of my novels that are currently out in stores are based on my life. The first one, Diary of a Mad First Lady, was about a woman who was stalking me at the time, trying to take over my life because she wanted my husband. And so, my ex and I were very private individuals. And so I wrote the story to kind of get some closure because, you know, I was dealing with it and I didn't know who to talk to. And, I was like, I got to get this, you know, somebody got to know. So I wrote the book. I never wrote a book to become, you know, an award-winning author or Essence best-selling author, national best-selling author. That just all mm-hmm. happened. But I mm-hmm. was just trying to tell a story, you know. Like, I just wanted, you know, because I was doing stage plays at one point before that. And so, mm-hmm. that came out, and it did really well. Dr. Bridget Hilliard and Lady Sarita Jakes, I will always credit them for being the first two pastors' wives to back me. And because of them, within the first 30 days of the book coming out, I made the national bestsellers list. So I always credit them.
Awesome.
It kind of put me on the radar. And so after that, after my divorce, I wrote The Preacher's Wifey. And that was that book was solely about the relationship between my ex-husband and his mistress. And so that's where The Preacher's Wifey, because she called herself the wifey. And so that was how the title came about, The Preacher's Wifey. And so I wrote that story. And so the sequel to Diary is coming out in stores in the first quarter of 2017. And it's a continuation of Diary of a Mad First Lady. And so, you know, of course, you know, I have stories for days, being a PK and then being a pastor's wife for 10 years. I can write books about this stuff for the rest of my life.
You're right.
And so my other books are not fiction. My Baby Is Not a Mistake is not a novel. It is actually my story about how I got pregnant out of wedlock, you know, after following my ex-husband leaving. About a year and a half after he left, I got pregnant out of wedlock. And I talked to ladies about that, how that happened, what led up to that. And it came from me not healing mm-hmm. properly from the divorce and looking for affirmation and appreciation and, from mm-hmm. a man, you know. And as a result, mm-hmm. I got my daughter, who I love very dearly, you know. But that's what that book is about. And then my book, I haven't put it out there yet. I'm waiting for this movement that we're going to talk about in a minute to get the press, A Divorce But Not Destroyed. That's my testimony of how I made it through my divorce, and it's already written. I'm just covers done. I'm just kind of pacing it before I put it out there. So those are my four books.
Let's go right into that because we're almost done. We got about 3 more minutes. Now that's How I Met You. So let's talk mm-hmm. about that and how that project is coming along, so we know what to look forward to.
Well, I started something called Christian Erotica in 2011 when I knew my marriage was ending. And so I was telling the lady today at lunch, I said, you know, I own up to the part that I played. I was so heavenly bound. I was no earthly good. You know how people say that. And so when people say, well, you know, I don't throw my ex-husband under the bus for the simple fact that I take ownership for what I did. And what I did mm-hmm. was I focused more on the title than I did on being a wife. Does that justify what he did? Absolutely not. But I can say that I mm-hmm. allowed the enemy to walk in the door that I opened. I started this movement, Christian Erotica. At first, people were like, oh, my God, you're blaspheming. You can't use those words. And then when I started educating people on the movement, what the words actually meant, it kind of took off from there. We did a movie called Let's Get It On, a short film. And so from there, I started getting all this national attention because people were like, who in the world is saying something about Christian Erotica? This former pastor's wife. And so we are getting ready to refilm because we have distribution now, and we're getting ready to refilm in 2017. And so I decided, God put on my heart to do a movement, a national divorce and marriage ministry. I want people to understand the importance of covenant and marriage. We are going to be doing a photo shoot on Saturday, and it's other married ladies who are standing with their marriage. You know, they know it's not perfect, but it is what it is, and that they are exemplifying the love of Christ with their spouse. And so I want people to see a unified group of women who say, we believe in marriage. It still exists, still be married, even in 2016. And then there are going to be three of us divorced ladies who lost our marriage to infidelity, and we're going to symbolize
us being our sister's keeper. We stand for marriage as well, and so we're going to link up. We're our sister's keeper, and we're going to fight for marriage. We're going to save marriages. Christians are divorcing at the rate of 54%. The third leading cause is sexual problems, and so that is my mission. I'm combating that. You know, I'm taking a stand. I'm talking about something that's taboo in the church, and so that's what it is, and I'm excited about it because I want women from all over the nation to be a participant in almost like this, I don't want to say sorority, but this movement that we're doing. You know, we want to make marriage popular again because it's not happening that much in 2016. A lot of women are afraid to get married, you know, and I find myself, to be honest with you, it's for a minute I didn't believe in marriage anymore because I was hurt. But now it's like it's terrifying, the thought of it. You know, I play with it, you know, a couple times, but really the thought of marriage sometimes scares me, you know, and I know that's the enemy because God created marriage. And so we're fighting for marriage.
He did.
That's what this whole entire movement is about, fighting for marriage.
He did. And I'm in the fight with you. I am in the fight with you. I haven't had a chance to share my details with you, but we will very soon because yours truly will be at the photo shoot, y'all.
Yes.
How exciting
is
that?
Well, everybody's going to hear your story because it's going to be, we have media lined up with Huffington Post, NPR Advice, different places that we're going to be, you know, sharing our stories with.
Awesome.
You know, we're going to be filming a little, we're going to get some video footage of you guys on Saturday and we're going to send it to an editor. It's going to be like a little infomercial with all of the ladies sharing pieces of their story, how they got to where they are. And we're going to make this go viral. I mean, we've done a great job with Pastor Caesar going viral this week over some beans and greens, potatoes and tomatoes.
I'm saying, potatoes.
You name it. So, you know, I'm praying and I know with all of us coming together, pushing it, that we are going to make a significant noise, some significant noise across the country with this movement and let people know marriage matters. That's going to be one of the hashtags, marriage matters. It does, because when you have healthy home, you have a healthy church, we have a healthy society, and that's what we got to get back to. We got to get back to family. And so that was the vision God gave me, and so I'm excited.
We do have to get back to family, and we do have to get back to marriage and the true foundation in which it was built. My husband and I have, we're getting ready to do couples gatherings and the Isha event movement. And we're going to talk about these things that we need to address in marriages. We need to talk about sex, and we need to talk about we need to talk about when to have sex. We need to talk about, you know, how important sex is. You know, I I'm saying it. I said it five times. I'll say it again. You know, sex is important. It's what
is very important.
This intimate. It's important, is it not? And we have not talked about this. We just talk about intimacy. No, I don't talk about intimacy. I want to talk about sex and what it means in a marriage.
Right.
Intimacy is one thing, but, you know, I use my intimacy moments when I'm talking about my time with the Father. When I'm talking about my husband, this is how we're going to talk. We're going to be real upfront in your face and talk about things. We don't talk about romance, I say. We don't talk about dating and still courting after you get married. We don't talk about having time away and just be in love. We don't talk about being in love. We don't talk about romance because, I mean, that's taboo, you know. It's just better to learn. It's how we were grown, you know, how I grew up. But I am so grateful that you are taking on this this platform, and God bless you. And may God's prophetic wind be behind you and guide you every step of the way. May the doors be open unto you that God has ordained to open for you. And every door that he doesn't want for you, we command that thing to be shut like a vault so you can have freedom to walk through the open doors. And also putting your voice in the wind again as God gives this project for you momentum to build into what it's supposed to be. Not because I'm on it, but I believe that more women and men need to stand up and talk about what powerful, healthy marriages look like. So thank you so much, Tyshawn, for joining us. If you guys want to know more about my sister here, you can go to her her website, Tyshawn. Is it Tyshawn.com?
No, it's Tyshawn.
I believe it is.
Washington.
I had it up. Washington.
It's DyshawnWashington.com.
DyshawnWashington.com. That is DyshawnWashington.com. Go and visit her website. She will tell you more on the website than what we got to talk to about tonight, but we're going to have her back when we go and shift. You guys, don't forget, we're moving to a new station so we can move on and have more freedom. You guys will be able to see us live on the air as we're on the air on internet radio. So please, by all means, if you're interested in becoming an advertiser, send me an email, crystal@iamclearscrystal.com, for more information. I'll be more than happy to send you a packet. Thank you so much, Ms. Washington. Godspeed, and I can't wait to meet you officially on Saturday. One last remark before we wrap up.
Thank you for having me, and I look forward to seeing you also on Saturday, and I'm looking forward to us joining together with this movement and sweeping the nation into not only just, you know, promote marriage, but to inspire men and women, particularly women, to believe in love again, because that's what's going to heal our nation. In times like this, we need love. We need the love of Christ, and we need the love of each other, and that is what I hope to embody as we go forward in the will of God.
Amen. That's right. All we need is love. Wow.
Mm-hmm.
Love of Christ is where we should start. I'm so glad for you. Thank you so much, Sayshawn. This is Crystal Willingham with Glam Network Radio on the Blog Talk Radio server. Please look forward to our future movements. If you are interested in anything that we're doing, you can follow me on Facebook at Crystal Willingham, or you can find me on Twitter and Instagram, I_AmClearAsCrystal, and you can visit my website. It'll be live on December 1st, but you can go there now and just kind of link up. IamClearAsCrystal.com is where my website is. God bless you. Thank you to my wonderful audience, and we'll be looking forward to talking with you soon. This is it. We'll see you next week.